They mind ain't a bit more on Jesus. Their mind ain't nowhere on Jesus. They thinking about fishing. They think about hunting. They think about the football game. It's, you know, the Saints going to be on at 1 o'clock. Hope Pastor don't take us into the first quarter. I wanted to see the player introductions. What are you going to get out of that? Jesus said, if you love me. Now, we're giving you Jesus' definition of love. He said, if you want to show your love for me, obey me. That's how I know you love me, by your obedience. It ain't by that, oh, how I love Jesus. That don't tell him nothing. He going to look at how you live and how much desire you have to do what he wants you to do. And that's how he determines your love. Every time I tell the Lord, I'm going to say most of the time, when I say, Jesus, I love you, I check myself. Have I been doing the word? Have I been walking in obedience? And if I haven't been doing good, I say, Jesus, I ain't been loving on you much. Help me. I got to get back. See, sometimes you lose your first love. See, this is what Jesus talking about, that church. They doing all these good things. I mean, they had it going on. You read Revelation chapter 3. They had it going on. He said, but I got one thing against you. You left your first love. You're not on fire for me like you used to be. You're doing, you got the program, you got everything. But you don't love me like you used to love me. You used to stay up and read your Bible. You used to get up and pray when I told you. Now you tell me to wait till in the morning. Look at verse 23. Jesus answered, said to him, he wanted to know, he said, how are you going to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered, said to him, if a man love me, he said, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. In other words, he said, when you start walking in perfected love, Jesus said, me and the Father, we come live with you. We come in to make our abode. We're coming to abide wherever you at. We're going to be with you wherever you at. If you show your love, you know, we got that thing. Everybody show your love for something. I'm going to tell you, if you show your love for Jesus, he come and stay. And when he's there, now he's going to be showing you what to do, how to do it. He'll be there when somebody shoot one of them fiery darts at you. He's there telling you how to handle that thing so that your love is perfected. So that your love is complete, so there's nothing missing in your love walk. Hallelujah. How many of y'all see that? The first key is doing what? Obeying the word. Keeping that word. Having a desire to obey God. Everybody say obedience. Shout it out. Obedience. That's one of the keys. I just gave you a scripture that told you that's how you perfect the love walk.
You have been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center. I trust that you've received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $5 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship services. We're located at 4701 Lee Street in Alexandria, Louisiana, just 2 blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
KKKAYT 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power, beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
Jesus. Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast. Brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blunt Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do. Ooh.
Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you afresh for this opportunity to hear from you. Our Lord, let the Holy Ghost speak to each one of us individually and all of us collectively, that you might receive the glory and we the good. It is in Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, Amen. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 16, beginning at verse 21. Matthew, chapter 16. I want to commence reading at verse 21. Amen. The word of the Lord reads, From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. I want us to look at Christ and his cross. Christ and his cross. What I hope that we learn from this word is that as Christ himself had to bear his cross, each and every one of us will have to bear our own cross. And so it's important to recognize that one of the ways to help us to prepare ourselves for our cross is to be mindful of the fact that we do have a cross. And at certain junctures in our lives' experience, we will have to take up that cross. We will have to bear that cross. We will have to endure that cross. One of the things that I want you to know is Jesus begins to teach about the cross in these verses, especially his cross. Our Lord had scaled the height of his person. Now he plumbs into the depths of his passion. The cross is God's plus sign in a minus world. And one of the things that you're going to recognize is it is the place where heaven and hell, time and eternity, it is the place where man was at his worst and God was at his best. God proved his love for us by the death of his son, and they all converged together at the cross. One of the things I want you to see is verse 21, we see the cross is presented. There are three things in verse 21 that we'll realize about the cross being presented. First of all, Jesus talks about the vision of the cross. He talks about the viciousness of the cross. And then thirdly, in verse 21, he talks about the victory of the cross. Let's go back in verse 21. Let me show you that. Notice the Bible says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem. Now, all of this was pointing to the fact that his time for the mission that he had come to planet Earth to fulfill would be completed. It was at Jerusalem where the apex of all of the happenings would come together that would place Jesus on this cross that he, the Savior of the world, the Son of Almighty God, would be crucified in a substitutionary position for you, for me, and for whosoever believes in him. And so he talks about this vision and he starts to make it clear, because what he wants them to understand, as he has shared some wonderful things about what will happen in this place, one of the things you're going to note is he wants to make clear that the cross is no picnic. It's a vicious cross. He will suffer many things. And of course, if you've read the story, and many of you have, and many of you've seen the Passion play, you'll know how much, and even that does not do justice to all that he suffered on the cross. So he talks about this continuously, and he says, and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes. And then after he suffers all of this, the word says, and be killed. Suffering wasn't enough. He had to die. And so he talks about the viciousness of this cross that ultimately yields his life to God in a suffering manner. But notice he doesn't stop at the death. He notices, he goes on, the Bible says in verse 21, and be raised again the third day. That's the victory of the cross. But not only will we look at the cross being presented, but we need to see the cross is rejected. Verses 22 and verse 23 says this, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those things that be of men. Now, there are some things I want you to look at this rejection of the cross, because it's important to see. First of all, you got to see the arrogance of the rejection. Now, Peter had just been used a few verses earlier to reveal that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And my brothers and sisters, one of the things that I hope and pray that we understand is that if we do anything in a magnanimous way in the spirit realm, it's never, ever us, but the Spirit of God. This supernatural revelation that Peter had did not come from Peter. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, flesh and blood had not revealed this unto you, Simon Bar-Jonah, but my Father which is in heaven. So now he's caught up in the fact that God used his human personality to reveal this precious supernatural truth through. And so Peter now is somewhat lifted in pride, thinking now he has an ongoing revelation about the things of supernatural value. See, sometimes God will use even the worst of us and bring out the best of us, but don't ever think any of us that it's all of us. And so in his arrogance, look at what the Bible says. The Bible says, verse 22, then Peter took him. He's like, grab, come here, Jesus. What you talking? Now, this is the same Peter that was given that revelation, so he think the anointing is still on him to continue. See, do you know in the New Testament time what anointings were on people for? To do a specific assignment. So when the anointing was on Peter to give him the revelation of who Jesus was, because Jesus asked, who do they say the Son of Man, I the Son of Man am? All of them said different answers. Peter came up with the right answer under the anointing of God. So he's thinking the anointing is still flowing. So in his arrogance, he pulls Jesus. Come on over here, Jesus. What is wrong with you? Look at what the Bible says. It says, and began to rebuke him.
That's good.
Now, here he is, the servant rebuking the master. All right, the Bible says, saying, be it far from thee. Then he says, Lord, can I tell you, rebuking and the Lord don't go in the same sentence. You can't rebuke the Lord. He's unrebukable. How you gonna rebuke the Lord? See, Peter had a fragmented perspective, but Jesus had an eternal perspective. Jesus knew what he had come to do before he came to do it. He volunteered to do it. He knew what he had to do. He knew when it was going to be time to do it. He knew all of those things that Peter did not know. And so he's now focusing on his cross, and Peter doesn't understand Jesus has a cross. As a matter of fact, Peter don't even know he's got a cross. This is another level of revelation that's about to be revealed to him, and Jesus begins with talking about his own issue. You see, one of the things that we got to realize, my brothers and sisters, and we'll miss the mark every time, if we forget we've got a cross to bear. Yes, Jesus makes clear, as the Savior of the world, the Son of God, if he had a cross, so do you. Yes, and you'll get yourself twisted and turned around in this world if you forget you've got a cross to bear. So not only is there arrogance in the rejection of the cross, but there's a hindrance in the rejection of the cross. Because look at what the word goes on to say. It says, verse 23, but he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me. Now, he says to him, you are a hindrance to me. Now, why does Peter become a hindrance to him when just a few verses earlier he was a help to him? He was a help, listen at this, under the anointing. He was a hindrance in the flesh. See, when you are not operating in the anointing, you're a hindrance to the program of God. That's why it's important to make sure you're in your place with your anointing to do what God has assigned you to do. I don't care how much you want to do right, do well. If you've not been anointed and appointed to be in that position, you are not a help. You are a hindrance. And so now he tells Peter, get thee behind me. Listen at this. And he says to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Because now the spirit of Satan has filled Peter's mind and his heart and his mouth. And Peter doesn't know, but he is being used of the devil to be a hindrance to Jesus. Now he thinks he's still helping Jesus by telling him, be this far from you. This thing ain't gonna happen to you. What you talking about? We need you, Jesus. And so look again, because I want you to see, not only was there arrogance when the cross was rejected, and not only was there a hindrance in the rejection of the cross, but you're going to see also that there was ignorance in the rejection of the cross. See, he really didn't know that Jesus had to bear this cross. That's why Jesus is introducing now his focus on the cross, so they will understand that this thing didn't just haphazardly happen, but it had been prophesied. It had been prepared for, and now it was soon to be presented. And so Jesus is simply preparing them for what is to come. So in the ignorance here, he misses Jesus. And the conclusion of verse 23 says, again, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. You savorest those things that be not of God, but that be of men. See, in other words, Peter's focus was not on heaven, but it was on earth. Yeah. Peter's focus was not on eternity, but the temporary, the temporal. That was not lasting. That was soon to pass. And he says, your focus is in the wrong place because of ignorance. In other words, not knowing the full plan. And a whole lot of us run off half-cocked. Might get a revelation from God, might get a visitation from God, might have some, you know, insight from God. And man, we take off running like we've got the whole picture when we've got one small piece to the puzzle. We think we can see the whole puzzle now because God gave us one piece. And what we miss is that's our part. He's not giving us everybody else's part. He's given us our part, and some of us can't even do our part right. But I want you to see something else, because not only do we have the presenting of the cross and we have the rejection of the cross, but verse 24 through 27 reveals to us the cross accepted. Now look at verse 24, because I want you to see something else. It's interesting in this word how the word of God makes clear that there are some things we've got to do in order to prepare ourselves for understanding our cross. Look again, if you will, at verse 24. It says, then said Jesus unto his disciples. He turns from a private conversation with Peter and then turns it to a public conversation or a general conversation with all of the disciples. And look at what he says. He says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his, underscore that in your Bible, his, because that means yours, his cross, and do what? And follow me. He talks about here in verse 24, a serious decision. Now, a serious decision is you understanding that if you're going to follow Christ, there are some things you're going to have to recognize you're required to do. The first is to deny yourself. Yeah. Look again, he says this, and I want you to see it again clearly. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. You've got to recognize that while you desire to follow the Lord, that while you desire to be a part of the team of the Lord, that while you desire to be what God wants you to be and following after the things that God has prepared for you to do, there is a requirement that must be met first. And the first thing that you've got to realize is you've got to get rid of all that you think is about you. Deny himself. Listen, the Lord can deny him, and that don't mean he'll deny himself. Because if you're going to follow the Lord, and this is what you need to realize, the Lord is not looking for leaders, he's looking for followers. He is the leader, and out of the followers, he will appoint those who can lead in his absence. But here's what he doesn't need. He don't need leaders to come behind him talking about they are leaders. Because the best leader is going to be a follower. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And when he is the best follower, then the Lord says, now you're ready to lead. Yes, and the best way he can be a best leader is to learn how to deny himself. You can't lead the Lord's group when you think it's all about you. That means you have got to put down all the stuff that you want, that you desire, that you think ought to be, that you this. It's got nothing to do with you and everything to do with him. And so when you follow the Lord Jesus Christ the way he wants you to, he makes you that kind of leader that can lead the others. And it begins with denying yourself. It means sacrifice. It means commitment. It means dedication. And so when you're able to do those things, he says, then take up your cross. Because that's your part. That's your assignment. That's your responsibility. And when you take up your cross, he says, now with your cross on your shoulder, follow me. See, it's easy to follow me when you don't cost you nothing. But when you put the cross on your shoulder, and you feel the weight of that cross on your shoulder, and you've got to walk now burdened, and you've got to walk because you can't go fast. I don't know, a whole lot of folk can run with a cross. Because a cross weighs you down, and that's why a whole lot of folk miss the Lord. Because a whole lot of them have been thus far on the journey and have not been bearing their cross. And as soon as they put the cross on their shoulder, it gets heavy. And then they find out they can't move and run like they used to. It's a slow pace now. And then they get frustrated because they're not getting as far as they thought they should have gotten. And they look and remember when they were running and running without a cross, that it would be the same way with the cross. But I got news for you. Your cross is your responsibility. And you can't drop the cross and run the race. You got to pick up the cross and walk each step of the race for the master. So it was a serious decision. But I want you to see something else. Not only was it a serious decision, but verse 25 reveals that it was a sensible decision. Because look at what it says. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. It was a sensible decision. The Lord is saying, listen, when you learn how to deny yourself, then you also recognize that you are giving up your life to receive a life that is eternal. You're giving up this temporary life in order to receive an eternal life. In other words, there's an exchange. You got to give up something in order to get something. And if you don't deny yourself, you're not going to be willing to give up anything. It's all going to be about how much you can gain and nothing do you want to lose. But you see, when you deny yourself, you lose all that stuff that holds you back. When you deny yourself, you lose all that stuff that holds you down. When you deny yourself, you lose all that stuff that torments you and troubles you. When you deny yourself, you lose all of those baggages and all of those hindrances and all of those things that shackle and bind. When you deny yourself, it ain't nothing the devil can deny you of. When you say, you ain't got to take it from me, I give it up. When you say to the devil, you don't have to worry about it, I don't want it no more. When you give up, deny yourself, the devil ain't got much he can do with you. Because when you deny yourself, he can't play on your heart because you've given up all the stuff your heart used to go. Oh, I wish I had somebody. When you deny yourself, you say, you know what, devil? I tell you what, I'm going to give it back to you.
Amen, because I don't want it no more. I'm giving up smoking. I'm giving up drinking. I'm giving up this. I'm giving up. So he can't use those things anymore to bind you because you've denied yourself. You say, I know I'm going to be hurt, and if I'm going to be hurt, I might as well do it myself. And I tell you what, you hurt less and you heal quicker when you deny yourself. So it was a sensible decision. And lastly, but not leastly, it was a satisfying decision. Look at verse 26 and verse 27. For what is a man profited? Listen at this word. If he shall gain the whole world and lose his own. So what does all of this stuff add up to in the end? You got stuff. You got money. You've got wealth. You've got prestige and honor and fame and name. But in the end, when it's all said and done, what has that got to do with eternity? The word is clear. The Bible says, again, verse 26, for what is a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or he asks another question, or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So let's say this. What is it on earth that you'd sell your soul for? That you'll exchange your soul for? What is it on earth that is as valuable as your soul? And you'll be surprised how many have sold their souls for nothing. And I got news for you, and I want to throw this out parenthetically, that no matter what you sell your soul for, it equals up to nothing. Because in the end, you lose. What do you profit? What will you give in exchange? Because look at verse 27. It says, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. He's coming in the glory of his Father with his angels, and he's going to say, it's payday. Yes, sir. Everything that you've worked for, everything that you've given up, everything that you've sacrificed, everything that you have committed and caused dedication to be given to for the cause of Christ, he wants you to know, I've made a list of it, and I've documented it, and I'm going to pay you for everything you've sacrificed for me. That's right. And reward you. And listen, this is going to be with an eternal reward. Yes, sir. Not something that's going to pass away, not something that's fleeting, not something that is temporary, but that is permanent. And he's going to reward you. He is going to reward you. And I want you to know, my brothers and sisters, some of us work down here and we work hard and we're not properly rewarded, and we do things and man and management doesn't always see. And it goes unnoticed, or somebody else gets the credit. But I'm so glad when Jesus comes back in his glory. I'm so glad I ain't got to touch somebody and say, I did this for so-and-so. I did this for the other. I'm so glad that I don't have to tell somebody I stopped and helped somebody on the side of the road with some food or this, that, and that. I'm so glad I didn't have to tell anybody I gave clothes to this person when they didn't have clothes, or I fed this brother when he was hungry. I'm glad I ain't got to tell nobody about what I did for the cause of Christ, because the Bible is clear that he is looking, and when he comes in the glory of his Father with his angels, he's gonna pull out his list and he's gonna check it twice, and he's gonna do better than Santa, because he knows who's been naughty and nice, and he's gonna reward you for your labor. Oh, give him glory in the house. See, some of y'all can't shout because you ain't got nothing coming, but oh, if you know you got something coming. If you know you've got something you're going to be rewarded for, it's a good time to give him praise in the house. Hallelujah. The doors of the church are open. Jesus had his cross. I need you to know today, you have your cross. The question is, have you taken up your cross to follow the Lord Jesus. The doors are open today. The doors are open. Our time is far spent. Our time is far spent. We've done so much in so little time in this service today that if the Spirit of the Lord is calling you right here, right now, would you get up and come? This is your time. This is your time.